My text this morning is going to be something of a little bit different. We have all seen the effects of it today. I think it's doing it out there now. On the board there, I have put the title of today's presentation, The Way of the Wind. Interesting word, that wind, isn't it? Wind power. What does it summon up in one's mind? Out Tony's way, it summons up those wind towers in the sky that were open last week. Or go down to Glen Thompson. But go back to Bible times, when one sees and one understands that sailing boats and men were governed by the wind. Indeed, we wouldn't be in this country today if it hadn't been for Captain Cook and the wind. We wouldn't be here. We can see the waves flat 1 minute. 10 minutes later, it can be a different scene because the wind has changed everything. My focus today is going to be, further on today, in a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to be delving into one particular chapter, chapter 11. But I want to start this morning with two scripture readings. This is comfortable already, sir. And I would like to start this morning, and it's on the board for those who want to write it down or copy it, and I've got more on the back. By opening our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. And I'm going to read from 1 to 15. And I'm going to stop about 15. It goes on, but I just want to start this with this thought this morning. And it's called Wisdom is Supreme. And it reads this. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and the only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my word or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom. And she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all, you get an understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. And she will set a garland of grace upon your head. And present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the ways of wisdom, and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to my instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evil man. Turn from it and go on your way. Interesting, interesting word. This is going to be the backdrop or the theme of what I'm going to be saying this morning. One of them. It's an interesting passage, that. Getting wisdom. Wisdom is one of the things which we learn from people over our years. We've all learnt and we've all had chances at learning something. Come with me now to the next little passage that I'd like to read quickly this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I'm going to be reading from 7 to 14. Once again, it's in Ecclesiastes, which we'll be dealing with the main part of our topic this morning. And I'm going to read from where I got 7 to 14. Ecclesiastes 7, 11 to 14. Wisdom, go back to verse 10 and think of this. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not the wise to such ask questions. Then it comes on with this. Wisdom is like an inheritance. It is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life and the possessor. Consider what God has done. What God has done. That's correct. The way of the wind, where do we start? With wisdom. Was it wisdom that Captain Cook found this country by the way of the wind? Did he look to the heavens to set his passage? Are they out here looking at the stars? I note on one of my previous sermons here, or presentations here, it says in Psalm 19, 1 to 14, the heavens declare the glory of God. And one's only got to look up there and see all the glory of a night time to see what the glory has done and how the heavens revolve. How, for example, we were talking about the moon being darkened this morning and turning into blood. Now, there was a time back in the Americas, in the mid-Americas, the 1930s, when they had the Dust Bowl thing, when they couldn't see the moon. All they saw were these dust storms coming out of the west for years and years and years, blown because of the dust was just being picked off the ground, and the moon was virtually of a morning and a night time. You couldn't see it. It was always like blood. That's the way it is. That's the phenomenon of what what's around. This morning, before I start, I want to tell a little story for those that have got a little story about Ronnie Burnett when he was growing up as a little boy. Now, Ronnie Burnett didn't always look like I am today. Ronnie Burnett had a few problems. Mainly, one of the things I found very, very hard to accept in life was the fact that I had to wear a caliper on my right leg. And that caliper made it very difficult for me to walk. And the caliper, when it comes on a young man's leg, the strap comes up under the knee. And if you want to walk or climb steps, the round part of the top of the caliper would catch on the back of the knee and it would be very sore. And if you had to go up and down a lot of steps, like I had to do once or twice in Sydney, the knee would start, the back of the knee would bleed. It was very, very painful. One of my first experiences with this was after I was taken out of the children's hospital in Camperdown when I had this put on with a special shoe. It was fitted into the shoe, had to be specially built. I was taken on the bus into town to try and relieve the situation. And in those days, they had a shop called Farmers in Sydney, in George Street, which is now part of the Myers Group. And a lot of those days, back in the 50s, you went down into the lower floors, and they had a big cafeteria. That was good. Little boy with my father and my mother and my sister and brother, I had to go down about 35 to 40 steps. Art Deco style, down the steps and around the corner with all the yellow Art Deco panels on the wall to the cafeteria below. Self-service tray and all that sort of stuff. Well, we had our lunch, and it was quite good, and I felt not too bad. But then I had to face something that I will never forget in my life. As a young boy of about 6 or 7, with a caliper on my right knee, leg, I had to go up those stairs, and that was an experience and a half. Luckily, I had a rail on the left-hand side. I struggled to get up those 30-odd steps. when I got to the top of the steps, I remember turning to my father and saying, "Dad, I want a pair of long pants today. I don't want people to see me like this, struggling." It hurt me to go up those stairs. I got to the top, but the interesting thing was my father was always full of wisdom, as most fathers are. He said to me this. He was before me, I was in the middle, and my mother and the other two were behind me, I think, from memory. He said something that I'll never forget. "You're in short pants, son, for a reason." He said, did you notice the people coming down the stairs when you were going up?" "Yes." "Yes, Dad, I did." "What did they do?" "No, I didn't think of this. They moved out of my way. They moved out of my way to let me pass on the left-hand side so they could see I was struggling." Now that day, my father taught me a very good lesson. I'll never forget it. I got to those steps. He said, "You're going to be in long pants for a little while. You're going to be in short pants for a little while longer. You're not going to hide it." Because I found out that I was respected. And he said, "People noticed you in short pants, and they got out of you and they stepped aside or moved aside to let you pass. Now," he said, "think of this. If you had a pair of long pants on, those people could not see that caliber on your leg. It would be covered. Yes, your vanity and your in your mind, you'd be happy that people couldn't see it and you look normal. You look normal or whatever. And you were able to function. But the practical side came out that day and he said to me, "You need to be practical as well. Because being practical, you were able to be noticed. And being noticed, people around you were helped." And so I learned a valuable lesson that day. As a young man, listen to what your dad has to say. You might think he's a bit silly later on in life, but when you look back at it in the way 69 years, 68, 69 years now, that was a turning point. I remember turning point in my life. That particular day. I can remember other things, but that particular day stands out in my mind as a day in which my father made me think outside the square. Because sometimes, as we're going to study in a few minutes, I've got to move on a bit, we are going to find that we have to step outside our square. We have to think outside the realms of where we are in the world today. It tells us in the lesson I'm doing today, in the study that I'm doing today, we are looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And so today, I want to present the main part of this topic today. And I've got an interesting to say today that there are 10 or 11 verses in this, but it's a very short chapter. It's filled with emotion and it's filled with information. And so I ask the question here this morning. The way of the wind. Wind is everywhere. You all went through it to get here this morning, one way or another, whether we came on the bus or we came in the car, across the front of the car went the wind. I stepped out this morning and I saw the trees moving in the wind. I go out on the harbour on a cool afternoon, or in Sydney Harbour on a cool afternoon, and the wind is there. Wind is a very evident thing in the world today. So today, I want to ask us to open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Did we all read what I've put on the board there? Challenges us, all that sort of stuff. I'll leave it there and you can write it down later on. Can we flip that over now? Thank you. These are the associated verses that I've got that we're going to deal with some of them today, but that's the study that I've done this this study from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11 opens up with a thought today by Solomon, and it reads thus, this, cast your bread upon the water, for after many days you will find it again. Cast your bread upon the water, after many days you will find it again. Interesting remark that. I remember as a child, a boy, being taken to the Sydney Taronga Park Zoo. And in those days, they still do it now, I'm told. I haven't been to a zoo for many years. I wouldn't know what they look like. Too far to walk. You always took a bag of breadcrumbs. And you stood by the duck pond. And you fed bread to the duck. And you'd come back later, and some of the bread will still be there, and some of it will be gone. Cast your bread upon the waters. After many days, you will find it again. That's an interesting remark to me, because I'm looking at it from another angle. That I don't want to live on this life on a closed world. That I, as a Seventh-day Adventist, have to go out there and mingle with the best in the world to be able to cast my bread, my influence, upon the water, which you could take as people around. Cast my bread on the water. For someday, it says there, you will find it again. No, I don't mean the physical bread. I mean the spiritual bread. Because I might do things in life and go along in a certain way and do things and be kind and associated with everybody, and it has a meaningful effect. This week I've had two surprises. I've been helping someone out down in Melbourne in a hobby shop. On last Sunday morning, very, very early, I got a phone call. Are you coming down this week? Yes, we've got something for you. Yes, railway. And I was presented with in model form, four railway carriages. Pullman style cars. Of the 1930s vintage, all with wood panelling, all down the side, and the crown lights over the top, Absolute rare. He said to me, I got the message, they are yours for your help. Estimated value, when they first came out in 1993, $160. Today's collector's value, $850 for four carriages. That was a thank you, shock to me, a thank you. That I had done something, I had done something for someone to help them out, and they repaid me with that pleasure. Totally unexpected, out of the water, out of the blue. Then I come to church this morning, and lo, I'm sitting on the next shock. It's here. And so things can help. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will come, and you will find it again. Now, if you read from Proverbs 22:9, which is up on the board, it reads this. And I've written it down. I'm not going to turn it up. I've written it down here. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Sharing your food with somebody is one of the best pleasures in life, or sitting around a table that I find is one of the best pleasures in my life. All right, I might be on a diet and I'm trying to lose weight, ha ha, and all that stuff. Yes. You know what I mean. But I find that you will sometimes sit down with your friends and you can have a meal. Sharing your food. Going out of your way. Oh, I'm not like Mrs. So-and-so coming across the street. Oh, can I borrow a jar of sugar? No, I don't do that. You come into my place. Any visitors come to my place, if I'm not there, you got the key, you know where the storage is. If you starve, that's your problem. The food's in the cupboard. If you know what I mean. Food's there. If I'm not here, it's there. You starve, your problem, not mine. I provide, you eat. So this is what happens. It says here in verse 2, in this one, in Ecclesiastes 11:2, give portions to 7, yes to 8, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. When I was writing this, putting this down, the happenings of this week in America, and even last night or yesterday when those people were shot in Boston, was truly something that shook me. Was I only gleeting, I flicked across the something, I saw it, and then I looked at it and thought, what happened? You may not know what disaster comes on the land. Before we came in here to church this morning, we have a disaster here at the moment in Western Victoria. A very bad one. Right here, right now, today. It is estimated that we are in one of the worst droughts here in Victoria, southwest Victoria, that at the moment has ever been recorded. We have had something like 10 years or so without the possible good rains. Explain it. And yet I can go down to Conda, or I can travel from Haywood to Hamilton through Conda, and there is a patch down there that the farms and along the road there around the Conda turn off that is all green. And yet you come further up the road here and it's as dry as anything. A disaster. A disaster of magnitude that I have only mowed my lawn once since December, first part of December. What does that say? Is that a disaster? Give portions to 7 or 8, for you do not know what disaster may come to you. I know farmers out here that are buying hay at the moment. Not cheap. They're feeding hay. I know one group of farmers down Branksome way that are actually putting their cows this week on the long paddock. They've asked me if I want to go down and help them sit on the paddock, sit on the side of the road in a car and read a book, probably do a study or something like that, while the cows feed on the side of the road. That's how bad it is. And yet you can go, say, 6 or 7 kilometres down up from that near Conda, and the grass is green. You know what, where the dairy is on the left, you know what I'm talking about. It's all green. So the variations is very, very unusual. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 2, it says give portions. Now let's read from Isaiah chapter 4. I'm sorry, Isaiah 58:7. And it reads in my Bible, and I'm going to stop at the third word because it says this in my Bible and I've questioned it. It is not, now that word not is in my Bible. It is not to share your food with the hungry. That word not, I don't think in my Bible should be there. That's just the way I'm reading it. It is not to share your food with the hungry and provide for the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from their own flesh and blood. Isn't that so with the family? That you look after your own flesh and blood? That you want to see them clothed? You want shoes on their feet? You want to see them all looked after? After all, we are all one flesh and blood because Jesus says we are all brothers and sisters in one. So it's just as much my responsibility to help look after you as it is for you and all that sort of thing. Because we all need one another. We all need one another. If we turn back to Deuteronomy 15:7-11, and I'm going to cut this down a bit, Deuteronomy 15:7-11, we'll see what is said there in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 15:7-11. It says there, if there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that your Lord God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbour this wicked thought. The seventh year is the year of cancelling debts, and so it goes on. So that you will do not show ill will towards your needy brother and give him nothing. He may then appeal to the Lord against you and be found guilty of sin. Give generously to him and go without a grudging heart. Then your God will bless you all your work, and everything is part of your part that you do. Therefore, always work to the poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and towards the poor and needy in your land. Interesting thought. I was in Melbourne on Thursday, and I had to walk up Collins Street. And as usual, I could pick the spots where the beggars sit. For on the ground with the little bowls out there. What did they do? Give to the poor. I walk past, or, you know, you feel sorry for them. What do? You throw money at them, or do you not? Some of them, I know this, they'll go straight to the pub. Well, have you got a dollar, mate? There are people working the public transport system today that will walk through the system and ask for money on trains and buses. Tap you on the shoulder. Got a dollar, mate? Got a dollar, mate? That's how safe the public transport system is. But one thing that's come out of this new MyKey system is now that they've found out it's a cashless society. A cashless transport system. And the fear of being hit over the head or belted around the ears for money out of the driver's till or the conductor's till is gone. They've solved one problem, but they've created about half a dozen with the others. People are getting used to it. That's the cashless society. If we read from, as I read from Deuteronomy, that's this. Now I go back and ask this thought. Ponder this thought. What is your attitude to those who are in needier than you? How willing are you to share whatever you have, no matter how meager, with those less fortunate? All right, the thought comes to my mind straight away of the Good Samaritan and all that, the practical ways. But if we turn over to Matthew, yes, Matthew 6:1-4 talks about giving to the needy. Now, I'm not going to stay long on it. Just going to have a quick little look. Matthew 6:1-4. If I don't touch some of these, where is it? Here it is. I should know where it is. Matthew 6:1-4. Jesus speaking. Giving to the needy, it's titled. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in synagogue, and the streets are honoured by men. I tell you the truth, I have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand does. So that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I don't receive respect to see rewards for what I give away. Give to the Salvation Army. This week I walked past the Anzac Day, little fellas. And as I came up, I remembered something. My father was a return digger. My hand went straight into my pocket for money. Thank you. And I gave them a donation. I got a little badge that I gave it. It was necessary. I'm remembering the past, and I'm connecting with now to help those now to look after the future, in the future world. What is your attitude to those in need? Now, I could go back and think about this. I've just thought of this. What about the fellows that have come home from the Vietnam and the Second World War and all that sort of thing? How were they needing help? Mentally up here and all that sort of thing. Homes were divided. Virtually, as you well all know, when you came home from Vietnam, you were shunned. And it was only in the last year or so, if that, that they are starting to be recognised as to what their contribution is. Their contribution to what made Australia. And they are being recognised today. Because they weren't fully understanding. Like my father, he came home from the war, went to the discharge place, I think it was in Marrickville. Here's your paper, sign NX this, that, that. Thank you, see you. Off, go. And the only thing he got out of that was he was allowed to buy a new home on the cheap, which he did. He was allowed to buy a block of land, cheap, with the government, you know what I mean. And that. It's like I'm digressing a little bit. But when you read the story of Ted Kenner here, this council gave him the money, the council here in Hamilton, built him a house, he and his wife, because he was a VC. The house he lived in here was donated to him because he was a VC in the 1940s, and it's on the plaque down there on the wall, where he is. Is it need, or is it this? When one looks at the practical side of things, we come back to Ecclesiastes now. I'll go back now. The next verse. If clouds... Where am I? Three and four. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Yes, we all know about that. Whether a tree falls in the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. That's an interesting statement. The clouds are full of water. I'm not going to get into that. Wherever a tree falls to the south or to the north, there it will lie. Ever seen an axeman work at the show or in the countryside? And they know how to read wood? The situation developed in my family here is in my house here in Hamilton a few years ago. We had two big plum trees up the back. And my brother-in-law, wise and all that sort of thing, came in one day and said, that plum tree's getting cut down. Now, it had been up there since the house, I don't know, probably about 60, 70 years. Blood plum, huge, great thing. That tree comes down. How can you tell them? Doesn't look right. There's something about that wood telling him that tree needed to come down. Yes, all right. Well, you know what you're doing. We'd have left it there, but you know what you're doing. So, next day or day, a couple of days later, this is right next to Alexandra House, overlooking their fat back fence. He came along. Next day with saws and with rope and cut it down. When he got down to the main part of the trunk, about as big as a huge, in the middle was all hollow. That tree was a facade. Around the tree, the outside of the tree, there was bark about that thick. Right round, it looked all right. But inside was hollow. And any great puff of wind or any severe storm, thunderstorm, which we get here occasionally when you get wind and rain, I said occasionally, that tree would have come down. And that tree got to me, I got thinking about this in this presentation today. Are we like this as Christians? Do we have a facade around us on the outside that we look normal? But in actual fact, are we hollow on the inside? Spiritually now, I'm talking about, not food-wise really. Spiritually, are we hollow on the inside? Do we lack spiritual growth? Are we in a situation where we need to be looked at? All right. In Revelation, I've just thought of this, in Revelation 22, 3, 1, whatever it is, I stand at the door and knock, because Jesus can see inside the condition of my heart, the way I am, and see how my inside is looking, rather than I. Because if a tree falls, it lies there. How some people can pick the ideas, pick the knowledge of a tree out, my brother-in-law was right. How did he know? I don't know. How does, for example, how does a doctor know that I've got tonsillitis or this or that, or find something else? Or in the hospital, you know. People know these things. It's an interesting thought. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. And the tree will lie. Therefore, I would put today now, at this particular point, it is application time. And this, that I know that everything I do or we do will affect someone in this world. Yes, I'm watching. Yes. Will affect someone. Feel the responsibility of the positive, the uplifting influence on those around us. An uplifting and influence around us. That's what I want. I want to have an uplifting and an influence around us. The other thought is today to reach out to someone this week or now with a touch that says God loves you and values you. Does God value you? Does God value me? Yes. He knows about the number of hairs on my head or the lack of them in some people. Sorry about that. I wasn't mean to look at you, if you know what I mean. He knows about these things. He can read. He can read all these things. He understands. He understands where we're up to. And so today, I'm going to slightly modify this because my time is getting away. The actual main part is on the board there. You can look at it and study it later. One of the things that I want to read in chapter 11... Ecclesiastes 11, is that one of the main thoughts I get here is verse 5. Verse 5 is a thought that I would like to read and ponder about for a few minutes. This today is probably my key text in the whole presentation. And it reads this. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, well, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. And we're talking about today the moon, the sun, the darkness and all that sort of thing, but it says in this particular thing, you do not understand the work of God. When I look at the heavens and I see this and I see the waters flow and I see the fish and everything has been formed, in this earth today, I find it hard to believe that I think I know everything, but I'm only a little bit of a mite. I only know about that much of a breath. If we harnessed everything the man knows in this world today, we would probably be locked. We wouldn't be an inch above the ground for what God knows. How does God do this? How does God do that? He might show us one day. How does God do this? The stars, the moon, everything. The sun comes up. It comes up in the east, sets in the west, and the moon goes round. It's all the geometry, shall we say, is all there. But how do you understand it? How does one understand algebra, for example? Forget it. How does A plus B equals C equals Z? Beyond me, you'd lose me when you said the first letter A. That's the way it is. That would be my main thought today. The next particular section in Ecclesiastes, it talks about the farmer. It brings us out into the farming lands, and it talks about the second hymn I think I sang, we sang, 369. Sow your seed in the morning and the evening. Let not your hands be idle, for you do not which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Then I think straight away, seek the Lord while he may be found in Isaiah. In Romans it talks about over the depths of the riches of the land. Matthew 13:1-9, the parable of the sower. Excuse me. And it talks about the good seed and the bad seed, the ones that fell on the rock and the ones that fell over here. Now it's interesting when one goes into the garden or one sees these gardening shows on the television. On Sabbath nights, when the Sabbath's gone, you can get into one on a Sabbath night. And some of the gardens that they visit are absolutely amazing to me. I'm not a gardener. I grow a very, very good quality weed at my place. That's about all. And I know how to mow a lawn. But to tell me about this plant and tell me about that plant, or have the mental ability to be lay out a garden so you step across roads, is beyond me. But just the fact of sowing the seed. I'm an early riser because of my health. And so I like to do things in the morning. Wednesday night, I started this presentation. I knew what I was going to do. I had it already planned out. Yesterday morning, I got up before it was light, and I finished off what I'm saying here today. Because I am freshest in the morning. Not the afternoon. By 11 o'clock, my physical body is starting to go down. I can tell that now. Well, you know, that's the way it is. How does it work? What do we look at? I won't be long. I'll be finished soon. Think this through in your mind. Make a list of the ways in which you have seen that God's thoughts towards you are indeed thoughts of peace and not thoughts of evil. Take time to praise and thank him for what he has done for you in your life. In your life today. Think of the wind. How everything is related to what you've done. Where you started. Look at the past. Look to today. Look to the future. It is all there. The presentation from this point on changes somewhat from Ecclesiastes 11:7-10. Remember your Creator, it says, while you're young. Verse 7 says, light is sweet. Verse 8, the main thought here, that man and woman may enjoy his or her life, but remember the darkness is evil. Verse 9 talks about be happy. The old saying, don't worry, be happy. Verse 10 talks about banish anxiety from your heart. Banish anxiety. Interesting thought. Let me read it. Verse 10. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for your youth and vigour are meaningless. I find it now longer to take to do things now than I ever did before. I mow the lawn in two parts. The back first and the front second. I don't do it all in one go. That's to help me. Let me close with this thought. Oh, this will have to. This will close with this thought. How are our spiritual matters going? The same applies to spiritual matters. If we serve God in order to be blessed, or in order to feel good, or even in order to earn the kingdom of God, we are not serving God, but ourselves. Religion has too often been understood as give in order to receive arrangement between humans and God, like some kind of bank investment. We give our offerings, we go to the religious meetings and make our sacrifices for God. And then we expect in return, we even demand that he will protect us and send us an abundance of what we have given. If this happens, if we end up being rich and happy, then we think that we deserved it. If not, we wonder about this God, and sooner or later we will stop giving and even turn away from this God. Are we like that today? No, you're not, because you're here. But we have to be very, very careful, because the wind can blow either way. The wind is a situation where we don't know where it's coming from. One has only got to go out. All right, boy, I just thought of this. Look at the Sydney to Hobart yacht race. Where do they go out? 100-odd miles or so out to the sea to get the best wind. Just this yesterday I heard of a situation where they had to go out on the Australian waters and rescue a man off Mallacoota somewhere in a boat from America, going around America, around the world to New Zealand. He was a Russian. They had to go out and rescue him because he got out into the sea and he was in trouble. The wind is one of those things that's unbelievable. Do we have the situation? Do we, as Adventists or Christians today, blow in the wind? I have a series of little anecdotes here. I'm going to read thing. God is the giver. Oh, that was on the other side, sorry. God has blessed your life. You may have days of suffering and pain. We all face that in one way or another. Just because I'm a Seventh Adventist, I'm told that I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that and I'm going to have the flu or I'm going to have this or whatever. I'm going to feel crook. I go to bed and I sleep it off. That's life. That's part of life. We're all immune to that. Don't be complacent. Things may be going well today, but who knows what tomorrow will bring. Look on the bright side. Tomorrow could bring something nice, as it did to me this week. Two things. This chair I'm sitting on and something nice that happened on Wednesday night. Things like that. Don't be lazy. Get up and do what's needed to be done today. While it's still good to be done. While good advice. You make up your own decisions on this. What we do when we ourselves in situations beyond our control. I'll finish with one statement here if I can find it. And I make no bones, I'm reading from Ellen White. This is Ellen White, not the Bible. Remember that you will never reach a higher standard than you yourself set. Then, if you set your mark high and step by step, even though it be painful effect, by self-denial and sacrifice, ascend the whole length of the ladder of progress. Isn't that what we're about today? We are on a spiritual ladder of progress. No, not the spirit of progress. We're on a spiritual ladder of progress. Upward. I think I've drawn it here before, a map on the, here. I start at the bottom. Rung by rung by rung by rung. Alright? The kiddies nursery rhyme comes in, Jack and the Beanstalk, doesn't it? That comes to mind straight away. But opposing circumstances should create a firm determination to overcome them. Breaking down a one barrier will give a greater ability and courage to go forward, as I did. Press on with determination in the right direction, and circumstances will be your helpers and not a hindrance. God is a helper. He's not a hindrance. In our lives today, we can be a hindrance to God because we can actually block out what he's trying to do for us to help us today because we're shut down. We are like some engines. They have power in certain engines today. They can shut certain parts of the engine down. Like 4,000, they've got 4,000 horsepower. And they can shut 1,000 horsepower down at a time to save fuel. This is economy on the railways and some of the planes and things. They can shut down economy. But don't be a hindrance. Then I'll finish off with this. Some men have no firmness of character. They are like a ball of putty and can be pressed into any conceivable shape. They have no definite form and consistency and have no practical use in the world. This weakness and indecision and inefficiency must be overcome. Then we talk about the Christian, about the true Christian character, which cannot be moulded or subjugated, you know, by adverse circumstances. Men must have a moral backbone and integrity which cannot be flattened, bribed, or terrified. Ellen White. Are we like putty? I'll close with that thought. Are we like putty today in the hand of the Lord? Because if we are, I don't want to blow in the wind. I want to have my roots go down into the ground in a very strong way. I'm not like seaweed blowing and going backwards and forwards with the tide in the water, or smelling in a couple of weeks when something comes up. You know what I'm talking about. My spiritual life, I want to have, you know, across and backwards and forward. But I have to have a foundation here, because if I haven't got the foundation down there, with him up there, I'm no good. Prayer. And therefore, I today again will close with one thought. I stand at the door and knock. Revelation. If any man opens the door and accepts me, I will enter. Today I pray that we are not mindless reeds blowing in the wind. That we have an anchor. We have something firm down there holding us up. A truth, a spiritual truth. A spiritual foundation in which we all can enjoy with one another's company. I thank you for letting me come here this morning, and I thank you, Lord, that my voice is held up and I have been able to be here today with you. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has been amongst us this morning and we've discussed. You know, we are in our Ecclesiastes 11 and associated text this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and the blessing here today. And I pray that you will take us now to lunch and through the Sabbath afternoon, and may we go to the end of the Sabbath. I ask these things in thy name. Amen.